Dear listeners, Sairam from Prashantinilam, the most happening place on the planet, as I always say, and today is November 12th, 10 days left for the 90th birthday of Bhagwan. Preparations are on. You everywhere in the ashram, you can see there is a lot of activity. The Vidyamayini team is going to start their presentations from 14th till 17th, and then we'll begin the Rathotsavam, the Ladies' Day convocation, and the big day, the birthday, which is going to come up, and we're going to have programs morning and evening. In the Hillview Stadium, the Shanti Vedika is going to look like a jewel. That is how beautiful the lighting and all the arrangements that are happening now. It's going to be a spectacular event. You're going to have 100 musicians from all over the world offering their love to Bhagwan in the form of a Sai Symphony. They are going to musically express the life of Bhagwan. And that is going to be one of the amazing, perhaps never before, events happened in Prashantinilam. And after that, there is going to be a splendid show of Sai Darshan, and then we'll begin the fireworks, and that will be our true Diwali. Yesterday we celebrated Diwali, but our main Diwali is going to come, our day of joy and light and delight is going to start when that fireworks begins in the Hillview Stadium. And there are so many people working behind the scenes, so many spectacular devotees, I would say. Their stellar dedication, their exemplary service, their superhuman love for Bhagwan. Every time there is a presentation which showcases 10 people on the stage, there are 100 people who are working 3 times more trying to make this happen. And it is the same. We have hundreds of sevadals coming from all parts of India for serving food, for looking after accommodation, for looking after the devotees' conveniences. There are groups of alumni who are coming to look after the guests. There are so many teams that are formed comprising of youth groups from Hyderabad and Bangalore and other areas who have taken up different parts of the celebration. So it's a grand festival of love. It's going to be really a beautiful occasion where you can see a gigantic show of our love for Bhagwan. I would say a gigantic offering of our love for Bhagwan. Today I was speaking to a professor from Gujarat, Mr. Mahbub Desai. He's come to Prashantinilam for the first time as part of the Bharti Yatra of Gujarati devotees. He's a professor on Islam, on history and culture. And he told me the kind of feeling that he is now feeling in Prashantinilam is what he felt when he went to Mecca and Medina. That peace, that auspiciousness, that holiness. This is in fact the Jerusalem, the Mecca and Medina, the Ayodhya, the Dwarka, the Tirupati for so many. And we are going to see an amazing manifestation of this as the time approaches for the big day.
Happy, 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 be happy. Happy, happy, make others happy. God will be happy.
Love is his message. Love is his form. And love is timeless, celebrating an epochal moment in an endless epic. 90 years of Satya Sara.
So as I mentioned to you, today we are going to talk about some of the people who have been working behind the scenes for every major festival every major celebration that happens once in 5 years, 60th birthday, 65th birthday, 70th birthday, 75th birthday. And today I'm going to talk to you about someone whom very few people know about, but without whose service none of these celebrations would have happened as smoothly as they went about. I'm going to talk to you about Mr. B.M. Wadekaunkar. The people who know him will immediately know what sort of a Hanuman-like devotee he is for the Lord. And as I narrate to you the kind of service that he renders to Bhagwan, that he's been rendering to Bhagwan for almost 3-4 decades, you will know why his life is such a colossus of inspiration. That is what we're going to talk today on this last lap of Thursday Life, coming to you straight from the studios of Radio Sai.
Tune to Sai. Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
So welcome to Outside Inside, Deep Inside. And as I mentioned to you today, we dwell on the life and the amazing service of Mr. B.M. Wadekaunkar. Construction of 125 temporary bathrooms, 125 toilets outside the ashram premises, another 100 of each inside the ashram premises, and all this in just 13 days. And done by whom? No laborer, no mason, no carpenter, no plumber. By only devotees. No one was paid, no workman was hired, but the task completed to perfection. Mr. Wadekaunkar says this is one of the greatest miracles of Bhagwan that happened during his 85th birthday celebrations. He is an octogenarian now, but it was his inspired leadership that made the execution of this Herculean task possible. No one knows about it. No one ever notices it. And when I asked him why you did not use any workers, it's such a difficult task to undertake. It's very challenging to construct nearly 400 temporary bathrooms and toilets. He said, workers will work for money, but when devotees do it, they will serve with earnestness and devotion, and this is what will please Swami. I brought with me brothers who had experience in all these skills, and that is how we completed the work on time. See, everything was ready, and as instructed on November 1st, 2010, we finished it. And it happened on time because we did it out of devotion. And this is what will make Bhagwan happy. Not only this, after the facilities were built, we even did their maintenance. So during the entire birthday celebration period from November 1st till November 24th, looking after the entire sanitation was their responsibility. 10,000 people used these makeshift structures, but not once was there a blockage or a breakage or any disruption in the sanitary service. They dug 1,200 pits to lay the pipeline, and they could use only 6-inch pipes and not the 9-inch ones because of various constraints. Still, nothing untoward happened and no devotee was inconvenienced. In fact, as I was talking to Mr. Wadekaunkar, he said, I must tell you this. While the thousands of devotees assembled were relishing the blissful physical presence of Bhagwan in the mandir, I and my team, we were experiencing the beautiful omnipresence of our Lord. Nobody can imagine how this work was executed in just 2 weeks with just 100 hands to help and maintained for another 3 weeks. When I heard him talk about what he called this greatest miracle, and I looked at his frame, I said, Uncle, you are already in your mid-70s. At that point in time, you are now in 80s, you are already in mid-70s then. Where did you get this energy to engage in such a physically and mentally exhausting task? He said, I am myself a miracle of Bhagavan. That is why I could do it. Because clinically, I should not be even walking, let alone working. Since the last 40 years, I am carrying with me a prolapsed disc. Plus there is my friend spondylitis. And along the way, I picked up another friend, rheumatoid arthritis. And now, he says, by his grace, my knee joints are also giving away. And I also cannot hear properly. My hearing is becoming difficult. See, this is all how Bhagavan has blessed me. This is what he said. And I was stunned. He said, sir, you're saying this is how Bhagavan blessed you? He said, yeah, this is all his grace. This body is not mine. This body is his botheration. It may deteriorate or disintegrate as per his will. I am not concerned. From the moment I saw Bhagavan, I gave myself to his work. And that is how it will be till my last breath. And it came with so much conviction. It came with so much of innate power. You could see that unqualified determination and inextinguishable zeal shining on his face, a face that was weathered by seasons, but shining in the glow of his love. And he went on to say, in fact, many years ago in the interview room, this is what I directly asked Bhagavan, I prayed to him for. I told him, Ma, grant me this wish, that I should leave this body serving. I should leave this body only serving. Even as I die, I should be engaged only in your service. And when I made this prayer, the most graceful Lord Bhagavan, the gracious mother, blessed me and said yes. And how much he has loved me all these years. How much he has loved me. In fact, as he told this, his body was trembling with emotion and his eyes were moist. He just wasn't unable to express how much love he has experienced serving Bhagavan. And he went on to share his most fulfilling journey with Bhagavan. Way back in 1952, at his sister's wedding, someone gave him a picture and a booklet on Shirdi Sai. Even though he felt drawn to that photo, he really fell in love with Shirdi Sai when he once went to the shrine of Shirdi Sai in Shirdi in 1958. And then in 1969, when a friend told him that Shirdi Sai has actually reincarnated in Andhra Pradesh, he said, I have to go and see him. Because he had already liked Shirdi Sai so much that he felt if he has come back, he has to see this new form of Shirdi Sai. But somehow, he could not make this trip for another 3 years. Meanwhile, in 1970, he read in a local newspaper about a Sai Bhajan being held in Soner, which was about 22 kilometers from Nagpur. So he was delighted to be there and he inquired further about Satya Sai Baba, the reincarnation of Shirdi Sai Baba, because this feeling that I have to go to him, I have to go to him, it was just becoming very intense. And he felt that maybe one way he can go and see Baba is to join the Satya Sai organization. So he hunted for the nearest Sai Samiti, which was an hour away. But he figured that for him, every time to go there was difficult. So he asked the devotee, how can he form a Samiti? And so the devotee said, if you have 11 willing Sai families, then you can start your own Samiti in Nagpur itself. So immediately he gathered a dozen families and the Sai Samiti in Nagpur began. And then for 2 years he prayed fervently for this dream to materialize, the dream to see Baba, the dream to be with Baba, the Baba of Shirdi who is now come again as Satya Sai. And this dream materialized for the first time in 1972, it was the month of July. When he reached Puttaparthi, he discovered to his dismay that Swami was in Anandpur because the new building of the Anandpur College was to be inaugurated. So he went to Anandpur, and at that point in time, the Anandpur campus, which was just coming into being, it was a beehive of activity because there were so many volunteers who were working day and night, because the then president of India was coming to inaugurate the new building of the Anandpur College. And when he saw so many devotees working dawn to dusk, working with so much joy, he felt that this is perhaps one of the ways to go closer to Bhagwan, to just do seva, to do selfless service. And so he and his wife immediately joined the group, and they heartily worked dawn till dusk every day. They stayed in the veranda of a house a little away from the campus. No inconvenience was a bother. Nothing mattered. He and his wife, they just lost themselves in the Lord's work. And Swami too had his own ways. He knew how to fill them with bliss. Every day during darshan rounds, Swami would come to Wadegaonkar or his wife. If he didn't come to Wadegaonkar, he will definitely come to his wife and he would grant Padmaskaram. And every evening the couple returned to their little home, thrilled. In fact, his wife became more attached to Bhagwan than him. And just being in the Lord's presence, serving him, just intensified that urge to serve the Lord. And he felt that whatever is needed to attain him, I will do it. And at that point in time, it seemed that the best thing to do is seva. And so when Swami returned to Puttaparthi, he too followed. The ashram then had very few rooms, very minimal facilities. People used to go to river Chitravati for their morning ablutions. Outside the Ganesh gate, there were only washerman's stalls and nothing else. It was a very difficult time to stay in Prashanthi Nilayam, but nothing of this mattered. In spite of all the limitations, he stayed in the ashram. He loved the ashram. He had no doubt of Baba's divinity. Once he saw Baba in Anandpur campus, he knew that it is the same Shirdi Sai. It just happened naturally. As naturally he had accepted Shirdi Sai, in the same way he accepted Satya Sai. It was a spontaneous knowing. And now the only constant concern was how to go closer to him. And it seemed that the best thing to do is to engage fully in the activities of the Sai organization. And so he returned to Prashanthi Nilayam the following year, Guru Purnima of 1973, and Bhagwan very kindly granted him an interview after this festival. That was the first time Swami spoke to him. And at the end of this session with Bhagwan, he was completely sorted. Everything in his mind was clear. And this resolution became strong in his mind, that I have to be with Bhagwan. I have to be with him. And another interesting thing that happened was there was now a complete turnaround in his approach towards Bhagwan. Earlier, he was thinking, what is it that I should do to go closer to him? What is it that I should do so that I can go closer to Bhagwan? And like many other people, he was also, as he said, running behind God. But now his approach totally changed. He said, now I was determined to focus on what to do for God so that God will come after me. I don't have to run after God. God will run after me. So he decided, I will spend the rest of my life in those tasks that will make God think of me, that will propel God to look for me, that will make God search for me and bless me. And in that interview, Bhagwan, after talking about all his family matters, Swami said only two words, seva karo, do seva. And this is what became the mission and the mantra of Mr. Wadegaonkar's life. After this, he was only eagerly looking for opportunities to serve, especially in the Prashanthi Nilayam ashram. When he came next year during the Dasara celebrations, he saw that people from Mumbai were doing sanitation work. they were making trench toilets and adding a superstructure on it. He felt the devotees actually deserved proper toilets. Even if they are temporary toilets, we cannot have trench toilets. They should have proper structures. Given his experience of working in the UNICEF as a health educator, he knew how to go about these things. And so he spoke to some elders in the ashram about this, about offering this service. And that is how the next year, in 1975, the year of the Second World Conference of Sri Sathya Sai Seva Organizations, he was given the full responsibility of erecting and managing the bathrooms for hundreds of devotees. He was called during Guru Purnima of that year for a preparatory meeting. And after the festival was over, he was waiting for Bhagwan's directions, but suddenly Swami left for Bangalore. And now Mr. Wadegaonkar did not know what to do. He was in a quandary because he could not return to his home. He could not go back to Nagpur, because when Bhagwan was leaving for Bangalore from the car, Swami actually indicated to him to hold on, to wait for his return. And he has not got those instructions from Bhagwan to make those arrangements for the Second World Conference. So he did not know what to do. He stayed on 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. He was hoping Bhagwan will come back, because Bhagwan mentioned to him while going that he is going to return. So he thought he is going to return soon. But Bhagwan did not come for a week, 2 weeks. He did not come for 27 days. And it was such a hard time for Wadegaonkar, because he had very little resources. Whatever little money he had, he started preserving every penny. He used to survive by eating only one dosa for the whole day. And he used to spend his time serving in the Sanatan Sarathi office of Professor Kasturi, the then editor of Sanatan Sarathi. But one interesting thing happened during this time, you know, the way the Lord works, again, divine providence. Because he was working with Professor Kasturi, Professor Kasturi used to genuinely inquire about his welfare. And at that time, Wadegaonkar ji was very disturbed, because about a year ago, his wife had suddenly had a paralytic attack. And she was now more or less confined to bed. And he had 4 daughters to raise. He did not have money. And here Baba had left him high and dry in Puttaparthi. He has to go back to his job. His financial condition was poor, dismal. He was so distressed. Everything in life seemed so dark and dismal. No money, no seva. Family filled with problems, wife on the bed. And then Professor Kasturi asked about his welfare. He just poured, as a young man with so many burdens. He just melted with the love that Professor Kasturi showered on him. And when Professor Kasturi heard his tale, he very lovingly consoled him, saying, "Don't be so dejected. Things will get better. See, even my wife is down with paralysis." That was the state of Professor Kasturi's wife too. We all know how his wife was suffered paralysis for 11 years. And very moving manner, in a very moving manner, look at this gesture of Professor Kasturi. The next day, he took Mr. Wadegaonkar to his own house, to his own room. And when Wadegaonkar ji entered Professor Kasturi's house, he saw Mrs. Kasturi bedridden. But the moment he stepped into the house, he saw that Mrs. Kasturi, she started shedding tears, because she was saying, "How much your wife must be suffering. I know what this condition is. I know how terrible this situation is. I'm going through it, but your wife is so young. I can imagine how painful it must be for her. I feel so sorry for her." She was feeling so sorry for his wife that she started crying. That is the heart of Mrs. Kasturi. She was so empathetic. so empathetic that her concern drowned the sorrows of Mr. Wadegaonkar. And look at, again, the golden heart of Professor Kasturi. Professor Kasturi did not stop with this. When Bhagwan returned from Bangalore, he made bold and he went to Bhagwan and he recommended his case. And he told Swami all the ordeals that Wadegaonkar ji has been facing in his life. And he prayed to him, Swami, please bless him. Please grant him courage. Please encourage him. And Bhagwan, acceding to Professor Kasturi's request, actually instructed Professor Kasturi that Mr. Wadegaonkar should be made to sit in the veranda. Generally, Bhagwan would get very annoyed if he was recommended about any devotee. But perhaps this was one of those occasions when it came with so much of pain from Professor Kasturi's heart and with so much of concern that Swami actually told him that call Wadegaonkar and make him sit in the veranda. And when he went to veranda, Swami came straight to Wadegaonkarji and he filled him with love and assurance. Swami told him, am I not there for you? Why do you worry? I will look after you. Everything will be fine. Don't worry. Don't be scared. I am there with you. Imagine the joy. Imagine the delight, the confidence, the assurance, the blessing that Wadegaonkarji received. He returned to Nagpur absolutely spirited and delighted. And he started making preparations for the World Conference work. He returned to Prashantilam in August 1975 to demonstrate to Bhagwan the plan, the action plan for the birthday sanitation arrangements. And Bhagwan was very happy with the agenda. He blessed him to go ahead. And so promptly he came back in October to start the work assigned. And during this time, there was one sweet incident that happened. One evening, he and his team were working near the canteen gate, and it was the time of Diwali, the festival of light and joy. And even as they were working, because it was that auspicious day of Diwali, Wadegaonkar ji mentally asked Bhagwan, he told Bhagwan, Ma, will you not give me sweets on this occasion? Today is Diwali, and we are doing your work. The next moment, to his amazement, in a few moments, someone was standing in front of him with a vessel full of laddus, saying, Swami has sent this for you. You can imagine how tears would have rolled down his eyes copiously. And Wadegaonkar ji says, every World Conference has been like this. Every time you do anything a little for the Lord, He fills you. He makes it such a splendid moment of your life. During the 6th World Conference in 1995, Wadegaonkar ji suddenly came down with high fever. And he did not want to bother anyone about his health, not even Bhagwan. He did not want to tell Swami. He felt it is okay. I will come out of it. But the problem was, not only was he sick, suddenly 12 of his volunteers also had high temperature. And now he got very worried because the sanitation work was getting affected. Time was running out and he was now worried. He had no option now. He thought, unless I tell Swami, the work is going to be in jeopardy. He now wanted to write a letter to Bhagwan. In fact, he was so weak that he could not even write himself. Someone else actually penned it down for him. And he wrote the letter. It was in his pocket. And he was thinking how to send it to Bhagwan. Unbelievably, in half an hour, Mr. Ved Narayan came to him, handed over Vibhuti packets and said, Swami has sent prasadam for you and your team. He has also asked Dr. Bhagwat to check all the volunteers in shed number 24. And he has asked the doctor to give them medicines. Swami has told that you should not worry. Swami has said that it is only viral fever. Everything will be fine very soon. That letter was still in his pocket, but the message had come. The directions had come. The blessings had come. Vadagamkar ji says like this, he has cared for us every time we needed him. Even before I could tell him my problem, he was there, safeguarding me. That is the love of this Ma. And when I told him, why is it that you always address Bhagwan as Ma? Every time you address Swami, you say Ma. He said, many address Bhagwan, Swami as Bhagwan. Many address him as Swami. But according to me, our relationship with the mother is even superior to God. The relationship with the mother is the most pious. And right from the beginning, quite naturally, I addressed Bhagwan as Ma. Right from the time I know him, I used to always address. It just happened naturally. And you know what? Once I called Baba as Ma, with that, this Prashanti became my home. I felt that I completely belong to him because it is my mother's home. Every time I come to Prashanti, I come to my mother's home. And see what happens when you have this feeling towards Prashanti. Many years ago, in the early 80s, one day, when he was in the accommodation office, Mr. Chand, who was then the in charge, told him that house sweepers were asking 12,000 rupees to clean the septic tank at the Ishwaramma Samadhi. And when Mr. Vadegaonkar heard this, he immediately rushed to the secretary of the ashram, Mr. Kutumb Rao, and said, sir, I will clean the septic tank at the Ishwaramma Samadhi. And the secretary was actually flabbergasted. He said, no Sevadal volunteer ever actually comes forward to do this kind of work. So obviously he did not believe him. But Mr. Vadegaonkar convinced the secretary. He said, I have knowledge of doing such jobs. I have worked in the UNICEF. Please believe me. Please give me a chance. And Mr. Kandal Rao had seen, Mr. Kutumb Rao had seen him work. And he did not want to disappoint him, given his passion. He said, okay, go ahead. And that's it. Mr. Vadegaonkar lost no time. He got down to work with his team. In 3 days, they completely cleared the septic tank. And he says, you may not believe me, we did it manually. We did it with our own hands, chanting his name. We went down the pit and bucket by bucket we removed the sludge. It was a large tank, 30 feet long, 20 feet wide and 10 feet deep. Until the tank was completely empty, we did not stop. We patiently rubbed and scrubbed all the walls till they looked white and clean. Not a penny was spent. The tank was spick and span. The secretary of the ashram, Mr. Kutumb Rao, was stunned. But what is most spectacular, what is the most beautiful moment of the seva, the crowning glory of the seva, happened a few days later, when one day in the interview room, when Bhagwan was there with two of his students, Swami asked them, do you know what is seva? And then Swami pointed to Mr. Vadegaonkar and told the boys, this man comes here in this summer when I am not here. And do you know what he does? He cleans the septic tank. Do you know how he does it? He does it personally with his own hands. And he cleans even the walls. And he does it so well that they shine like glazed tiles. This is what is seva. Swami said, this is what is supreme seva. What you boys do is only drama. This is acclamation, certification, acknowledgement from the Lord Himself. What is seva? I asked him, what really gave you that much courage to take such a challenging task? I mean, people run away from such kind of jobs. But what inspired you to go ahead and do this? And he said, as I told you before, Prashanti is my home. I have never done a stitch of seva just for the sake of appreciation or reward from anyone. I don't even want this appreciation and reward from Bhagwan. I do it for my mother. I work for my ma. And this ashram is my mother's home. If I work in my home, can you call this seva? If you go and fix something in your home, do you call this seva? It is my duty to keep it clean. I do it because I want my mother's home to be beautiful. In fact, in 1985, one day, Bhagwan called him and asked him to build two toilets adjacent to the lady's shed. And once he finished the work, Bhagwan called him for an interview. In that interview, his younger brother also was there, who is a veterinary doctor. Swami first asked him, his younger brother, about his work. So he said about the profession and the kind of work that he's doing. And then Swami pointed to Mr. Wadekaunkar and told his younger brother, look at your brother. He is a multi-millionaire. Swami said he is a multi-millionaire, and his younger brother was shocked. And Wadekaunkar himself, he was completely at sea, because he felt, I don't qualify to be a decent beggar, the kind of situation that I am in. Why is Bhagwan saying that I am a multimillionaire? Swami told his brother, this entire Prashanti Nilayam is his. Swami told Wadekaunkar's brother, this entire Prashanti Nilayam is his. And then he looked at Wadekaunkar and asked, isn't it true? And Wadekaunkarji said, Ma, when you are mine, of course this entire Prashanti is mine. How can it not be? How can it belong to anyone else? This Prashanti is mine. And yes, I am a multimillionaire because I belong to you. Bhagwan was so pleased. He patted him profusely and said, take care of this home. Look after its maintenance. And this direction from Bhagwan, Wadekaunkarji took it so seriously. The next year, for a week, he came with his team in August to do his first maintenance seva camp. There were 90 of them in that team. And once they finished this maintenance work, Bhagwan called all of them for an interview. He inquired about the welfare of each one of them. And he asked them details about what they were doing, about their families, how did they manage to do the work, also about where they were staying, how much money they spent for eating, and every little detail about their lives, about the seva, about their personal life, everything. And even as Bhagwan was listening to them, suddenly he rose from his chair and he called Mr. Chiranjeev Rao, the then ashram caretaker. And Swami told him sternly, how is it that you take money from my children? When my children are eating in their home, how is it that you take money from them? And then Bhagwan calculated to the last 25 paise every penny that was spent by every team member, and asked Mr. Chiranjeev Rao to return all the expenses of this team. This is how Bhagwan showered his love, and this is what inspired, and this is the inexplicable bond that exists between the servants of the Lord and the Lord. When you think of Lord as He is my own, the Lord says, if you think you are my own, you are more than my own self. And from then on, for 3 decades, so much maintenance seva, Mr. Wadekaunkar and his team have done. It would leave anyone dazed by their dedication, by their commitment. And whenever I use the word seva while talking to him, he would say, Why do you call this seva? I cannot call this seva. When you do things at your home, do you call it seva? I am just maintaining my home. That is all it is. We are all children of Mother Sai. My team is children of Mother Sai. In fact, what we do is so little. We come here only once a year to see the mother and to inquire about her welfare and fix a few things. Whatever can be done in 15, 20 days. We do so little. And see how the loving mother rewards us profusely. So many times she has given us clothes, money, paid for our railway tickets, taken care of her every little need. How can I not call him as Ma? If there is any relationship greater than God, then it is with the mother. And for him, he is that greatest mother. And then he went on to tell me the story of Pundalika, how Pundalika served his parents so well that even God came down to bless him and did not mind waiting for hours at his door. Serving the mother is greater than serving God. That is what the life of Pundalika shows us. And for him, Baba has always been his mother. And so he says, when I'm in my mother's home, whoever comes here, they are my guests because they are my mother's guests. And so serving during world conferences was always a privilege for him. He always felt, I have to look after these people because they are my mother's guests. And every time he would come, Bhagwan would ask, when did you come? When are you going? But Wade Gangurji never asked anything for himself. He says the mother can sense when the child is hungry. And the last 45 years, he says, this mother has looked after every detail of my life, including the marriages of all my daughters. In fact, when his first daughter came of age, Bhagwan said, I will perform her marriage. I will do it here in Puttaparthi. After the conference in 1984, he waited to get a date from Bhagwan for the marriage. He tried to speak to Bhagwan many times, but somehow there was no response, and now he was getting desperate because he was here with his three older daughters. And his paralytic wife was there at home managing the little one. And he could not stay on forever in Prashantinilam. So one day, out of frustration, during darshan, he shouted, Ma, I'm going. Swami immediately turned and said, go. That's it. He was so upset. He told his daughters, let's pack up. And they started for the bus station. He was angry and sad. He was angry because Swami did not consider his request. Swami did not give him a date for his daughter's marriage. And he was sad also because he felt he should not have done that. He should not have shouted at Swami. How could I shout at my mother? In fact, he was very repentant. And he thought, before I go, let me just go to Mandir and ask forgiveness. So he actually started walking to the Mandir, even as his daughters were heading towards the canteen gate with the luggage. And when he was at the Ganesh gate, he saw someone rushing to him, towards him. And he said, Mr. Kutumb Rao is looking for you. Swami wants you. Swami wants you now. And at the same time, there's another Sevadal who stopped his daughters who were going out of the Gopuram gate and said, Swami wants to speak to all of you tomorrow. Please do not go. And the next day morning, Swami called all of them for an interview. And as soon as he went inside, his first question to Bhagwan was, Ma, I was waiting for you since so many days. Why you did not speak to me? Desperately I was calling out for you. Why you did not speak to me? And Bhagwan immediately said, why don't you understand? It was not a good time to talk about marriages. You come in February. After Mahashivratri, I will perform the marriage. That year, Shivratri was on February 18th. So he started the next day and reached Puttaparthi on February 21st. And as soon as Bhagwan saw his family, he inquired about their welfare and he asked, how many people have come? He said, Swami, 33. Swami said, so many? There is no space for so many people in the interview room. Then Vadagangurji said, Swami, Ma, okay, none of us will come. You just take the bride and bridegroom and do the marriage. That's enough. Swami heard this and he just smiled. And then Swami said, I will perform the marriage tomorrow. All of you come. And the next day, not only all the 33 of the marriage team went inside the interview room, Swami also called two other students. And then after he performed the marriage personally, he blessed the couple and said, come next year with the baby. I will name the child. And Bhagwan did keep his promise. And he named his first granddaughter as Premalata. In fact, after choosing the name, he looked at Vadagangurji and enchantingly Swami smiled and asked, Do you like the name? What could he reply? He just fell at Bhagwan's feet. He said, Ma, whatever you say is perfect. Whatever you do is perfect. And after this first marriage, Swami asked him to conduct the rest of the marriages in Nagpur. In fact, at the time of his second daughter's wedding, he took the invitation card and went to Vrindavan, where Bhagwan was there then. So when Bhagwan saw him, he said, hey, why have you come now? He said, Ma, I have come to take you to Nagpur. You told me to conduct the marriages in Nagpur, but if you do not come, how can I conduct the marriages? You have to come there now. Swami was so, he just broke out smiling at this innocent love and devotion of this blessed devotee. Swami went inside and he brought special saris for his daughter and his wife. And he said, go and do the marriage, I will be with you. The ceremony went on very well in Nagpur. Bhagwan took care of everything. And immediately after the marriage, the bride and bridegroom came to Prashantinilam. Again Bhagwan did a drama. He did not speak to them. Bhagwan actually left for Vrindavan. Now he did not know whether to go to Vrindavan or stay on in Prashanti and wait, because you don't know which day he is going to return. So he waited every single day waiting for Bhagwan to come, and that wait was not for 1 or 2 days or 1 month. It was for 54 days. The couple just got married and they were waiting for 54 days in Prashantinilam for the blessing of Bhagwan. Look at their devotion. Look at their feeling for Bhagwan. If you have this much determination, the Lord will melt. How can the Lord not melt? Finally, when Bhagwan came, he blessed the newly wedded couple profusely. And that is how every person in his family, the marriage of the third daughter and the fourth daughter, every time Bhagwan took care of everything. And Vadagangurji says, having been gifted with so much love, I only want to make every second of my life a worthy gift to him. And to me, the best way to do it is only service. That is the only thing I understand. When I was busy working for the World Conference in 1990, he says, my father passed away. And the state president of Maharashtra told me that I could return to Nagpur. But how could I go? There were construction work going on in 8 places and Baba's birthday was less than a week away. I only sent a message to Bhagwan through Mr. Narayanan, the then secretary of the ashram. And Swami asked Mr. Narayanan, has he gone? Has Vadagangur gone? And the secretary said, Swami, he does not want to go. He does not want to go. Swami said, it is fine. Tell him, I will speak to him soon. His father had become very old. He has now come back to me. And so Mr. Vadagangur continued to serve. Worked for the World Conference in 1990. And after the birthday celebration, Bhagwan called him on December 2nd. And then Swami asked him, when are you going? And Vadagangurji said, Ma, how can I go unless you speak to me? I am receiving continuous calls from Nagpur to return home, but I cannot go unless you bless me. But before I go, I have 3 wishes. Swami said, what? What are your wishes? He said, Swami, please perform the thread ceremony of all the children of my team members. They have been all working for you with so much love. Please bless their children. Swami said, okay. What else? He said, Ma, such a massive world conference just concluded and you worked so hard. Swami immediately stopped him, snapped him. He said, I did not work. It is you who worked hard. And Vadagangkurji said, Ma, it is you who worked through me. It is you who worked through me. Ma, please give me the chance to massage your feet. Please give me this chance of doing this seva. You must be tired. I want this opportunity to serve your feet, to massage your feet. And the Lord very lovingly gave him this opportunity. His daughter also was with Bhagwan on this occasion, and both of them served to their heart's content, massaging the Lord's feet. And Swami asked, okay, what is your third request? And he said, Swami, please permit me to change the sanitary fittings in the buildings, West 2, West 3 and West 4. All these rooms then had 6-inch pipeline. He said, Swami, I want to replace them with 12-inch pipes. Swami said, okay, go ahead, but do it in the summer. And so Vadagangkurji returned in April, May, when Bhagwan was not in residence, when Bhagwan was in Vrindavan, and he completed the work. And Swami had not forgotten about this. In fact, before he left for Vrindavan, he had given the secretary of the ashram enough money to be handed over to Vadagangkurji for this task. And thus, that job, like every job, was done successfully. Similarly, on another occasion, he fixed western commodes along with wash basins in 70 houses in Subhamanagar in Puttaparthi in just 15 days. And he says, it was again him working through me. It's as simple as that. In fact, whenever I think I am doing, the work just does not progress. But whenever I know that it is he who is doing, everything just falls in place. When I take such a step, he takes 100 steps. And he says, I remember how after clearing a patch of land in the north of the ashram, adjacent to the South Indian canteen, I had a vision of Bhagwan in a rose garden. And so I decided to create such a rose garden there. And for this, he requested Bhagwan to come and bless before he started the work. And one morning, Bhagwan did arrive and he came so silently. And Bhagwan did not come in his car, but he came in Mr. Jogarao's car so that no one would notice him. And Bhagwan himself planted the first rose plant. And he washed his hands as Mr. Vadagangkurji poured water. Then he accepted Aarti and left. Now you have those little wishes. The Lord is eager to fulfill because you have given your heart to the Lord. Another time when he was busy attending to something in the old gas godown, suddenly Bhagwan came there, and from the car itself, Swami asked him, how are you doing? And he blessed him. It is as if he had just come there to let him know that he is with him. Wherever he may be, he will come there and bless him. And there are so many instances like this. And as I was talking to him, I told him, see, after your first interview, you had decided that you want to engage in such tasks that would make the Lord come to you. And how wonderfully it has happened in your life. Time and again the Lord came to you. And he says, absolutely. When Bhagwan conducted the Atirudra Yajnam in Chennai in January 2007, at that time he remembered me. He sent message that I should be given the responsibility to do all the arrangements for sanitary services. The Lord never forgets me. As I was listening to all the amazing service initiatives, the way he has dedicated his life to this work, which generally people are abhor to take up, and how Bhagwan has personally guided him, cared for him, instructed him, showered so much love. I asked him, when Swami left in 2011, and the moment I mentioned this, he just cut me sharply and he said, what do you mean he left? He is not gone. Who says he is gone? He is not gone. My mother is with me. He is all the time with me. And he said, see, this year, May, June 2015, we got this opportunity to relay the concrete in many ashram roads. It was quite a job and I actually did not have many volunteers. I was worried, but I just made a few phone calls and in 2 days, as if from nowhere, 140 people turned up. And they all came from all parts of India, from Visakhapatnam and Kerala, from Odisha to Punjab. And we completed the work successfully with absolutely no expenditure to the ashram. And we did all the labor work. We did all the masonry. In fact, I remember seeing all those volunteers working. I thought they are all laborers and workers. Only later I realized they belong to Wadegaon Kostim and each person is a banker, an engineer, a teacher. But they forgot everything and they are working like simple laborers, doing up the ashram roads. And he said, see, this year we celebrated 30 years of our maintenance seva. And for this, to commemorate this, we did a yagnam at the Dattatreya shrine in the Mother Ishwarama's Samadhi place. It was such a fulfilling moment for all of us. In fact, 2 years ago, they had cleaned up the entire Samadhi area and made fresh roads and gardens. And the whole area of Bhagwan's parents' Samadhi now has a beautiful ambience. And it is only because the hard work of Wadegaonkar's team. And now they did a yagnam to commemorate 30 years of their maintenance seva. And given what he is, I asked him, Wadegaonkarji, you come to Prashantinilayam twice or thrice a year and do service projects. But given what you are, I don't know if you are keeping quiet during the rest of the year. You are someone who I know would be doing something or the other. He said, yes, my hobby is to serve in the villages. There are 4 villages near Nagpur, which the Sai organization has adopted. And there are 200 families in these hamlets. And I requested every Sai devotee family to adopt 1 rural home. And now all the needs are looked after by our devotees. And I visit these villages often and I educate the rural folk about health and hygiene besides attending to their problems. So yes, I am busy all the year round. Without seva, I cannot live. Every time. That is what gives me joy. But I told him, how do you manage? You have so many challenges at your home. 4 daughters. Whom you raised with so much of constraints. Your wife is sick. Your wife is paralytic. And she's been paralytic for decades. How do you manage everything? He says, I don't manage. He manages. My mother manages. My wife has wholeheartedly supported me in all my work. In fact, she's more devoted to Bhagwan than me. And he says, look after my family. Just look at my family. By his grace, all my sons-in-law are Sai devotees. Tell me, which son-in-law will wait for 54 days to start his life after marriage? See how Bhagwan has blessed me. I am extremely lucky to have such a beautiful family. And it is all the Lord's doing. But as I was listening to all this, I asked him, Uncle, don't you at times feel that having spent all your life in village service, in Prashanti service, you probably missed out many other finer aspects of life? Maybe you could have led a more comfortable life. Possibly you would have built a house of your own. Maybe you would have owned a car. You spent all your life only doing service. And I heard the restroom of your own home is a very basic structure, is what the people who know Wadegaon Guruji told me. His room is so simple. So I asked him, you know, do you at times feel that you have some regrets in this life? Maybe you could have done something else to lead a much more convenient, comfortable life. You know what Wadegaon Guruji said? Who says I am not comfortable? I am most comfortable. He said, by God's grace, I get a pension and that is enough to take care of my needs and my wife's needs. Why do I need to own a house? See, actually there are so many people who come to me and say, Kaka, grandfather, stay in my house. The other day somebody else told me, you please stay in my home. See how much people love me. This is the wealth I have. Other day a devotee came from Hyderabad and he gave me a car. And I told him, I don't want a car. I told him, I cannot afford a car. a driver and a petrol and all that, please take it back. But this devotee insisted. He said, no, you are getting old. You need a car. I will myself drive whenever you have to go to Prashanti. He said, see how much I am showered with love. Even during this year, maintenance seva, I told my team that I am not sure if I can come again next year because my health is deteriorating. But you know what happened? Many of my volunteers started crying. They said, Kaka, if you do not come, we will not be able to do anything. You don't do anything. You just come. You just be here. You just rest here. That is enough. We will do everything, but you please come. In fact, they said, each one of us will get one additional volunteer. So we will not be just 140, but 280 strong. But please, you be with us. He said, where will you get this love? This is my mother's love flowing through so many hearts. All the people who work with me, they are the Lord's masterpieces. So whatever be the expenditure also for the work, we don't ask anyone, we share it among ourselves. This is the love in which I'm swimming. What do you mean I have missed anything in life? I'm most comfortable. Look at this boy Manu from Odisha. The moment he comes, he gets to work and he forgets everything about food and sleep. Each one of them like this is a gem. I am really a multi-millionaire. Baba is so true. I am indeed the happiest man on earth. Who can get this much of grace and love? Just to know a little more and just to let all the youngsters also know what is happiness. I asked him, Uncle, many youngsters of today might feel that you have lost out heavily on so many joys of life. Do you think you have missed out on any of those little joys of life which every youngster craves for? He said, my definition of happiness is different. True joy is not when I eat sumptuously. True joy is when I can feed another four of them sumptuously. In fact, we are indebted to society just like we have debts to clear with our parents. We owe it to our fellow brethren. That is what is true joy. True joy is living for others. In fact, he said, even if you leave this aside, there is another selfish reason why you should work for others. He said, only when you think of others will God think of you. See how Bhagwan has taken care of my family. If I take care of another 10 people, he will look after my life tenfold. My job is to only see Baba in as many people as possible and take care of them with all my heart and soul. If Baba has to take care of my family, if I'm really concerned about my family, then I should ensure that I serve others. He says, this is my conviction and this is my understanding after so many years of being with him. There is nothing that adds more meaning to your life than being of service to someone else. And he started singing, actually, a Hindi song which was very popular in the 70s and 80s, but a song which very beautifully conveys all that he wants to say. He says, this song is my personal anthem, and the song goes like this: Kisi ki muskurahaton pe ho nisar, kisi ka dard mil sake to le udhar, kisi ke vaaste ho tere dil mein pyar, jeena isi ka naam hai. Spend yourself for the smile of the other. Give yourself for the smile of the other. If possible, loan to yourself another sorrow. Take another person's sorrow. If you can love another person genuinely, that is what is life.
मुस्कुराहटों पे हो निसार, किसी का दर्द मिल सके तो ले उधार, किसी के वास्ते हो तेरे दिल में प्यार, जीना इसी का नाम है। किसी की मुस्कुराहटों पे हो निसार, किसी का दर्द मिल सके तो ले उधार, किसी के वास्ते हो तेरे दिल में प्यार, जीना इसी का नाम है। माना अपनी जेब से फकीर है, यारों भी के हम अमीर हैं। माना अपनी जेब से फकीर है, फिर भी यारों भी के हम अमीर हैं। मिटे जो प्यार के लिए वो जिंदगी, जले बहार के लिए वो जिंदगी, किसी को हो ना हो हमें तो ऐतबार, जीना इसी का नाम है। रिश्ता दिल से दिल के ऐतबार का, जिंदा है हम ही से नाम प्यार का, रिश्ता दिल से दिल के ऐतबार का।
So this is that beautiful song that is a favorite of Vade Gaonkarji, and it is, even though it belongs, it's from a movie, but the feeling is so beautiful in this song, which, as I told you, means spend yourself with the smile of the other. If possible, loan to yourself another sorrow. If you can love another genuinely, that is what is life. And the next stanza of the song says, I may not have a penny in my pocket, still, going by my heart, I am rich. And a life that gives itself up for love, that burns itself away for others' welfare, whether anyone else has faith in it or not, this is what I believe is life. Life is that which gives itself away for others' welfare. And then he sang to me a couplet which he said summarizes his life. He says, Aisa hamara jeevan hai apne sai ke sang, jaise ki phool khushboo ke sang, mano par chhai ke sang. Aisa hamara jeevan hai apne sai ke sang. This is how my life has been with Sai, like the fragrance that fills the flower, like the shadow that never leaves the owner. That is how my life has been with my Sai. In fact, as he sang this, Mr. Vade Gaonkarji choked. And I was speechless. This silence was so deep. So eloquent. What a fantastic life he has led. I just spontaneously bowed down and touched his feet. Because rare are such souls in whose veins love for Sai flows. It is not blood, it is love for Sai which flows in their veins. Even before an ounce of energy is created in their body, it is dedicated to them. That is how much is their dedication. If we can get inspired to emulate in our lives at least 1/10 of his passion and purity, our lives would have never gone in vain, definitely. And most importantly, our Saima, our beloved Lord, would have been so happy, would be so proud of us. In fact, the Lord would be indeed be searching and waiting to engulf us in his tight embrace, just like he did for Vadegaonkorji, and he continues to do for Vadegaonkorji. Our lives also, like his love, will just become an eternal song in the wind, whispering his melody. What a fantastic life it will be. It is so many fantastic lives like this which add the beauty that the earth is still today, that the world is still today. If these glorious functions happen in Prashanthi Nilayam, be it 85th birthday, 80th birthday, now 90th birthday, it is because there are so many such souls shining resplendently in his love. It is for us to take inspiration and become at least a little lamp of his love. Let us also glow so that we can offer brightness and warmth and hope to others. So dear listeners, with this, it's time to wind up this last leg of Thursday Life, coming to you straight from the studios of Radio Sai. It was a very heartening moment for me to share the story of Vadegaonkorji. I hope you liked it. If you have any queries or comments or you want to know more about him, you can always write to us. listener@radiosai.org, that's our email ID. Thank you so much for being with us all throughout this day. Let us work so that we can see him in everything. And even as I sign off, you will listen to a drama entitled Jnana Pradayini Vidya Vahini. It's a drama presented by Sri Sakti Sai Gurukula Vidya Niketam, Karimnagar, Telangana state. This was presented by the students on 13th February 2015 during the Vidya Vahini meet at Prashanthi Nilayam. So that is going to start at 10 o'clock. Keep listening. Keep sharing his love. Let's fill the world with hope, with love, with peace, and with joy. Thank you so much. Sai Ram.